Yes. Wow. That's a lot more relaxing than I thought it was going to be. Hey, everybody. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe Show. Hey, man. My name is Joe Carabam, a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today, I am again a podcaster. I'm a podcaster again. Rolling across from me is one of the greatest minds that have ever struck the whole entire world. Her name is Karen Bolevsky. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's like a triple header. We're trying to get them all in.
Yeah.
Trying to get them all in. Who do we have in the studio today?
In the studio today, we have Tom, who plays guitar for Monday Mistress.
Hey, Tom, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going great, man. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having me.
Are we allowed to say your last name, though, so people know how to pronounce it properly, or do you just want to go by Tom?
However you want to do it.
I wasn't sure if you're cognito.
I pronounce the last name Kazemi.
Kazemi?
Kazemi.
Yeah.
Kazemi, Kazemi. I've been told Kazemi is a more.
You've been
acceptable.
Told? Someone told you how to say
my father.
Oh, okay.
My father told me that, but I haven't listened. I still say Kazemi because I don't know. Feel like it sounds better.
I mean, sometimes that's how it is for my last name, too. Sometimes my parents would say it some way, and I'm like, I'll go this way. Then I hear it so many different ways that I just pick and choose.
Oh, you make it your own. It's your name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually try to round it to however people can pronounce it. But thanks for being on the show, Tom. But just before we get into it, we're going to start with Carolyn's news so we can start it hot.
Oh, yeah, you guys. This week, this Friday, we're kicking off Baltimore Comic Con September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. This whole weekend, Friday through Sunday, we will be at Baltimore Comic Con at table 3011.
Tom, you're in the comics too, right?
I'm a casual
fan.
A social comic book.
Yeah.
Casual. But yes, that's the same table number we were at last year, so that's pretty awesome. And for those of you that need to be in the know, we're going to be in the Kids Love Comics section, and it's going to be amazing because I'm also doing a seminar there because they have this whole Kids Love Comics pavilion that's pretty cool, and they have all these activities like hour after hour. A lot of the people that are in our section are going to be giving presentations, and mine is on this Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon. I'm going to do Create Your Own Superhero Symbol, and this is something that I've done before at Baltimore Comic Con and at East Coast Comic Con and at Awesome Con, and I've even done it for National Archives. So this is pretty amazing. It's a great way to engulf graphic design with your love of comics and also your personality. So what we're going to be doing is creating our own symbol for ourselves. And this is obviously open to children. It's in the Kids Love Comics section. But if you're an adult and you want to join in, hey, I'm not going to say no. There's definitely been adults that have done the activity before. So, or even if you're a parent and you want to hang out and do it with your kid, that's pretty fun too. So that's on Saturday from 11 to noon in the Kids Love Comics section. Also, Baltimore exclusive. Who here is a fan of Archie Comics? Tom, do you love Archie or Betty or Veronica? I'm putting you on the spot.
That's a heavy question to start up with.
Pretty heavy.
Or are you a Reggie fan? Or Jughead?
I guess Jughead.
Yeah, Jughead.
I kind of like
is
Jughead.
Cool.
Who's
I remember
Reggie?
Jughead. I don't know who Reggie is. But I remember Jughead with the nose and the crown.
Yeah,
he was kind of a goofball. Yeah.
Yeah, and he loved to eat.
Oh, yeah, and I love to eat too. We got that in common. Definitely that. Definitely
so,
that.
Baltimore Comic Con is celebrating Archie this year, and they're making a yearbook. And I think over 75 artists were asked to be in the yearbook, and I was asked to be in the yearbook. So, it's all these really cool art inspired by Archie, and some of it even features our own independent characters with Archie. So the deal is that you can buy the book in the exclusives area of Baltimore Comic Con and then go around to all the artists and get them to sign the book. And then you get extra like prints and prizes and stuff if you complete the scavenger hunt and get everybody's autograph, which is, it's a cool way to also like meet all the artists that are there and collect everybody's signature. So you got to get everybody's on top of that. It's pretty amazing because this is my first time being a part of the Baltimore Comic Con yearbook, and it's cool that it's Archie themed because that was like one of my first exposures to comics was Archie. So it's nice. I like the time of Archie. It's like you have a malt, you hang out at the diner, you have your friends.
That's how like America's supposed to be, isn't it?
To me, that's
eat burgers and have to choose between different women.
Yeah.
Sock hops and soda pops.
Sock hops and soda
pops. Dude, I'm all about that. I am all about the Archie life, man. Hashtag Archie life. Yes, please come by. And you can come to our table. Again, it's table 3011 in the Kids Love Comics section. And I will definitely sign your Archie yearbook. And I'm really excited to be a part of that. But also, we're going to be having a whole bunch of other cool stuff at the Curl Studio table. Joe's going to be there, so say hi to Joe. And again, that workshop's going to happen. It's going to be a great weekend at Baltimore Comic Con. I mean, I feel like the weather's going to be great. I think it's a few weeks earlier than Baltimore Comic Con usually is. So you're going to have nicer weather. And yeah, I'm so excited. And then, you know, after that, we get a weekend off. But then the following weekend is Small Press Expo. And that's September 17th and 18th. We'll be announcing more about that later. And coming up in the year, we also have New York Comic Con. That's October 6th through 9th. It's a 4-day show. So you'll be learning more about that. But that's basically our fall tour. We also have the Blood Drive on October 29th. But again, too soon to talk about. Let's just focus on Baltimore, because that's going to be amazing.
You know, it's pretty amazing, like, because Carolyn does the symbol, the superhero symbol, and I seem to remember, like, Tom, I think majority of the shirts that I've seen you wear, you do have, like, just, like, right now you're wearing, like, the Ramones logo, I've seen you wear the Deadpool one, do you have just, like, an abundance of, like, all these, like, logo superhero shirts?
Is that graphic pretty much, tees.
Yeah, is that pretty much all we can wear at this point?
That's all I got. I got that, and I got some, plain black tees. Plain black tees. That's about it. And then I got my work shirts. And
Have you always been a guy that's just like, I'm going to just wear like black shirts and like jeans or something like that? It started out that way.
And then I tried.
Changed?
Well, a little bit. I wear red sometimes. Deadpool like, was red.
I'm throwing the red.
Captain America was blue, red, white, and blue for the 4th of July bit. We did. So, yeah. You know, so I try to switch it up.
What has been your fashion through like, I don't know, since you realize you can like choose what you wear? Because I remember, even though I was like, you know, like Stranger Things, I was watching that, and did you watch Stranger Things yet? Have you seen
Not
the show?
Yet.
Well, you know, they have a character that's like a young girl in there, and then at one point they dress her up in like supposed like girl wear, what girls are supposed to wear.
Like how
it's like a little like it's like a doll.
Like how a young boy would dress a girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what was your style like growing up? Because like right now I could say like outside of your work, it's a graphic tee and like. And like, you know, whatever pants, or right now you're wearing cargo shorts, which I never wear shorts.
Yeah. Well, it was hot today, so I went with the shorts. I tried to stay
with
jeans.
It's okay. You can wear shorts.
No, man, I got to explain myself. No. No, but that's been it.
Been the style, like graphic tee and jeans or something like that?
Yep. Maybe boots or sneakers and messed up jeans and a graphic tee. And in the wintertime, throwing a leather jacket.
So there's never a time like in high school or something where like, I think I'm going to go through like a goth phase or like the grunge phase where you added like a flannel to it.
Well, I had flannels.
Did you have a flannel? Was it around the waist?
No, I never did it around the waist. They would just be open inside of the jacket. It would be open then, like a Ramones tee, Metallica, Slayer, whatever, Anthrax, something like that. I wore a lot of band shirts when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Was it one of the Ramones at New York Comic Con you ran into?
No, that was one of the Misfits.
Oh, Misfits.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, I met Jerry.
Nice.
It's so random. Nice. You never really think. That's what's amazing when you go to these conventions. You don't. A lot of times they're not really advertised. Like these guests are not purely advertised, and then they show up, and you're like, what's Bret Hart doing here? What's Jerry Only doing here, man?
Well, he's kind of a comic book character.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what they are.
Yeah.
So how were you? So because when I was talking to Mike has always been, like, into music. I mean, you were obviously the guitarist. Were you always playing guitar back in, like, high school? Were you always playing music in general?
Yeah, I mean, I started music, fifth grade, playing the trumpet.
Really? I didn't even know you played brass.
Yeah, I was a brass player. Brass player. And then high school did like a year and a half of trumpet.
Trumpet? Where did you come with
my stepdad.
Okay.
My stepfather was a trumpet player, and, you know, I expressed interest in music, and he wanted to start me up there because, you know, he knew how to play, so he could be a good teacher and everything. And, yeah, did that, got into high school. A lot of trumpet players in high school. So
were you ever challenged, like in high school, or you know when you're crossing over from like elementary school to high school, like you think you're like all big and bad, like you're like, I'm the best trumpet player like in whatever elementary school you went to, and then you go to high school and you're like, man, that dude from Sangster is badass now or something like that.
Wow, I was a first chair in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah. I thought pretty good of myself, and then you know you get to high school, and then I was like the second best third chair.
Now, were you still wearing the band shirts back then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're like wearing a band shirt, like a Ramones shirt, and you're playing trumpet?
Well, then it was more Metallica. And that was more my metal phase.
Yeah.
I wasn't into punk rock that soon. But, yeah, and then I changed over to baritone in the middle of all that, and I played a baritone. That's basically kind of halfway between a trumpet and a tuba.
Now, were you settling? Were you like, I can't get the first chair in this one?
somewhat, because there wasn't very many baritone players, so I could play better parts, more interesting parts with baritone, and there wasn't that many. So
how many people were you competing in trumpet in high school?
Roughly 20.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, so.
That's a tough one, man, because I feel like, trumpet, you're basically making the sound also with your lips and your note and your throat, or what. I don't know how the process is, but it's not like you're strumming something or blowing, and it's a certain type of blowing, I guess.
It's a buzzing.
It's a buzzing, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get your lips real tight and blow real fast.
I always used to think the saxophone, or not the trumpet was. It's either the saxophone or the trumpet were like the coolest parts of the brass, though. In high school or elementary school, when I saw them, I was like, okay, those guys must be the coolest ones there.
Well, sax is definitely cool, but I believe sax is a woodwind.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because you gotta
reed. Reed, that's right.
The reed, that reed throws it all off.
That's right. So it's one of those combos.
Yeah. It's a hybrid.
I didn't know that. I always thought you're like pure punk rock or metal the whole time, but to know that you did the trumpet. That's pretty amazing. How far did you actually take that? Were you part of like the marching band and stuff like that, or?
No, I was not. No, I pretty much gave it up.
You just gave up cold turkey?
Well, no, because then I always wanted to play guitar, but my parents were very like, okay, well, this is how this is going to go. So they wanted me to learn music. They wanted me to, you know, learn time signatures and how to read sheet music and all that.
The proper way.
Yeah. The proper way.
Something I still have not.
Well, I've forgotten a lot of since I got guitars in tablature. But then, finally they let me pick up a guitar, and that's where I took it from there.
Because Mike is always swearing to God that like your punk band or band that you were in was like one of the best ones he's ever seen, like back in the day. What was the name of that?
We were called Social Excrement.
Social Excrement. All right, so what was your outlook on this band? How would you describe this band, too? Just because was this high school into college? I don't know what the...
high school.
Just high school only?
Yeah, just high school.
That's where you got a lot of fire, though. That's when you're in high school and cause
a lot of
ruckus.
Teenage angst.
Yeah, that's right, man.
And was Mike in this band?
Mike Argel was actually the first drummer I ever jammed with in a band.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
He was the very first drummer, and it was... myself and the bass player at the time, Leo, who was in our other band, Sleeves That You Knew. And we were looking for a drummer, and Mike was definitely willing to step in. But then Mike was very much a classic rock guy. He was very much like a John Bonham type of drummer. Yeah. And so he was like, well, this is cool, but I don't know if I want to, you know, do this forever. So you guys got to find somebody permanent. But
he's
also
like, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. I mean, it's crucial to find those elements in a band. You got to be able to click like that. Because Mike was also the first person that ever actually introduced me to a drum set. When I was like super, super young, he had a drum set at his house. And that was the first time I ever stepped foot or even knew that you can have a band or anything like that. So then after that years went by. Yeah. But that's cool. So how was this? What was the name of the band?
Social Excrement.
Social Excrement. Was there anything recorded?
Yeah, we got stuff. Actually, our drummer, Dave Reynolds, who...
I was just there
today.
It
was a guy helping us record Monday Mistress. First kind of thing they're trying to put together, EP, CD, album, whatever we're calling it. I don't know.
It's crazy to see Dave, because like, you know, everyone, you were saying you're in a punk rock band, and you look at him now and you're like, was he ever in a punk rock band?
Oh yeah, he was. I mean, I will say that he was a very good punk rock drummer.
Did he dress the part too?
Not as much. He actually had an interesting style about him. He had a long blonde hair, but two dreadlocks, and he cut a hole in a baseball hat and pulled the two dreadlocks out of the baseball hat. So
what?
So he'd wear the hat, and he'd have the two dreadlocks poking out like alien antennae or something, you know? And then the rest of the flowing locks going out of the back of the hat.
Wow, that's pretty unique.
Yeah. I need to see photos of this.
So that's how he would do that. And he didn't always wear the hat, but when he did, he'd have the two holes to poke the two dreads through.
I'm not going to lie. That seems like a lot of effort. Because you can't wear hats like in school, though, back then, right?
We could.
Oh, you could?
Yeah, we could. That was right when they were kind of starting to get a little iffy about it, and some teachers would try to make you take them off and stuff, but we were still able to.
But then he's like, well, you can't pull this off because I got my hair sticking out of it.
Oh, he was always a pretty good kid. He was always, as far as school went, he always did real well. He was always real good with his teachers, so I think they just kind of gave him a little slack.
Gave him some slack? Keep those grades up?
Keep those grades up.
So I'm assuming that were you ever into sports and stuff like that? Is that what took this away?
Briefly.
Basketball? Was it basketball?
No, it was football.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was football. I played a little bit of like the youth league, like 95-pound league when I was on like fifth grade or so.
Was it called like not YMCA, something like...
Well, a lot of it. Yeah. We were SYA, but there was like FPYC and...
All these abbreviations.
Yeah, just whatever, youth council, something, something.
The
something.
Youth council sounds like such like an order, you know what I mean? Like some sort of like, not communist party, but like some sort of like strong unit. The youth council will judge
youth
you.
Youth authority.
After. Yeah, the youth,
And then Mike and I were actually on the same defensive line in freshman football.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, we rode the bench together.
Now, is that how you got? You said you guys never played?
Every now and then we would get substituted in a game for like a game or two. We'd run out there, make a fool of ourselves and get called back in.
Are you saying that you weren't good? Or you just weren't good enough? Or did you try out for the team and you're like, what? Let's do the minimal.
No tryouts.
Oh, you just got in?
You showed up and you said you wanted to play. You got a helmet and a jersey and let's do it.
So you played first bench.
Yeah, first bench. There you go. That's a pretty, yeah. So then after a while, again, you know, kind of rock and roll and, you know, guitar and all that kind of took over my time for hobbies and football.
Did you play a lot of shows with Social Excrement?
We played an okay number of shows. I mean, we played a place out in Herndon a couple times. We played, you know, obviously our Battle of the Bands in high school.
So I feel like those are probably the best. I have very fond memories of playing music in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Because afterwards, it just seemed like more, I don't know, when you do stuff in high school, like have little, like, you know, bands or, you know, like gangs or something like that, it seemed more romantic in a way than later on.
In that Archie type of way.
Yeah, just like did Archie have a band?
Yeah.
He does have a band.
He does. There's also Josie and the Pussycats, which is part of the Archie world.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Idea.
You know, Josie and the Pussycats have an arch nemesis band called the Misfits. Did you know that?
I thought that was... That wasn't a...
Oh, no, that's
that
not Josie.
Gem.
That's Gem and the Holograms.
That was Gem.
Never mind.
Yeah, that was Gem and the Holograms.
That's something totally different.
Who's Josie and the Pussycats? Do they have an arch nemesis?
I don't know.
I think it might just be...
But didn't the Archies have a band that was just called the Archies?
Of course.
Yeah.
just name it after... It's like the Bon Jovi.
You just got to name it after the lead character. There you go.
So with this punk rock band, was it punk? How would you describe it? Where were you guys' influences? Was it the normal punk
band? Well, the normal punk band. Well, Ramones, Fugazi, Dead Kennedys.
Now, did you guys think that you can cause trouble? Like, were you like...
Like, you mean in DC hardcore scene or something?
Yeah, yeah, so
no, like, no, well, because we never really got, like I said, after high school, everything kind of, everybody went their separate ways, sort of, you know, people went to school, people got in trouble.
That's a tough part, right?
You know, stuff like that.
People got in trouble because of the band?
No, because of other...
Did anyone go to jail?
Because of life.
Was
yes.
jail involved? Oh.
Jail was not involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that hurts. That hurts.
Yeah, you can't like, play with somebody that's in jail.
Tupac?
Sure. Well, yeah, well, you know. You gotta have a little more cred.
You gotta have more cred.
You gotta
that.
Have a little more cred.
Yeah.
So after that, were you just because like, what type of guitarist would you call yourself? Because I barely even call myself like a bassist. I mean, I guess I can sort of play bass, but were you like the type of person that's just like, I need to do some crazy ass solos, or just like I just want to cause a lot of noise, like Sonic Youth noise? How would you describe yourself?
Well, my first kind of favorite band was Metallica, early Metallica, and then. My first kind of, obviously the Ramones was my first favorite real punk rock band. And I just really fell in love with the powerful, fast, mean power chords.
Yeah.
And like the riffs,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And just riffer madness, you know what I mean? That's what I wanted. And so I feel like if I would like to be considered something like if James Hetfield and Johnny Ramone had a baby.
Yeah.
I would like to be that baby. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's who I feel like.
So two guys have a baby.
Yeah.
But I mean, those are two of my bigger influences, you know, and that's what I feel like I hear when I listen to the stuff that I'm on.
So you must have enjoyed it when they actually, like, when Ramones, not Ramones. Wait, they did, Metallica did a cover of Ramones song, didn't they?
I think it was the Misfits.
Was it the Misfits? I thought they did like... No.
We keep confusing the Misfits.
The Misfits.
Like for other...
The Misfits.
For like Ramones.
Who did So What? Who did So What?
Well, that was Metallica.
Metallica did So What?
Yeah.
But
they did Last Caress and they did...
Oh, yeah, that's right. It must probably was the
Misfits.
I think
they did Misfits. Like Green Hell, I think, too. I think.
It's crazy because during like our practices, Misfits have like seeped its way into it. And I don't even know where that came from. But there was like this unifying front that like, hey, you know this Misfits song? Yeah. I'm like, how did this even happen in between that?
Well, they're really fun to play. They're really simple songs, you know, and they're, you know,
So the Misfits are influencing Monday Mistress.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, there's probably a little bit of, little a, bit of
there's
it. A, there.
There's like an, the attitude of it can be. Yeah. Can be in that. So were you in that band? Was that it? Did you ever do any other bands after that? Where did your musical journey happen after high like school. High school and college? Not college, but even during that time or post-high school?
Post-high school for...
That's when it gets tough.
Yeah, I didn't really do much at all for about 3 or 4 years.
Like in life?
No, well, no, I mean, just working. No, that was basically, no.
In life, I just sat around.
No, I just straight up work.
Yeah, I
work,
know that
hustle,
feeling.
Just, you know, trying to make, you know, build money. Up the bank account, you know, just all that kind of stuff. Just trying to...
I mean, that's a good deal.
Oh, you know, I gotta, you know, try to be a little bit more of an adult.
Because usually a lot of times that stuff is what's going to take the bank account away.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know, then after a little while, after about 4 years, I ended up playing and or jamming with some people for a little while, but I was bad.
What do you mean by bad?
Terrible. Like my skills were awful.
This is on
awful.
Guitar?
Yeah, because I hadn't really touched a guitar in like 4 years.
Oh,
too
so
much,
you didn't even touch it?
I mean, I would pick up and, you know, play a couple old Excrement songs once in a while or, you know, thumb through a couple of Metallica riffs or whatever, but nothing really of any kind of substance at all.
Was there ever a time where you, I don't know how the structure of the band was, but did you write songs or, I mean, how did that process go?
I would bring a riff to the table or the bass player would bring a riff to the table. One of us, you know, may write another riff to go along with that riff or, you know, one of us may just have a whole song kind of put together all at once.
So that's a tough thing to go from, because I know for me coming from going into Monday Misfit, not Monday Misfit.
There it is. See if we can
see that. Monday Mistress is that like I came from a like the songwriting, like I would have to, you know, like I didn't have to think about other parts as much. Yeah. But it's unique for this one where going into this band, I was like, I don't want to go into this band like that. I want to see what happens sort of like in that room. That's why if you remember like certain times whenever, because I feel like a lot of the songs that we've created almost come from like I would play something and then you would find something into it. And then it's just like this back and forth and then Mike would join in. And then that's how we'd create songs. And like to me, that's like when I hear about how great the bands I really love, like say if it was like the Chili Peppers, I've watched their documentaries, how... You know, like there's this dynamic of like, yeah, so it just sort of found itself in the room. And I think there's a lot of times where our songs found itself in the room. There's this organicness of like, even if I bring something, an idea to it, like it's such this awesome dynamic of like, okay, then what does Tom do with it? And like, I have an idea in my head, but I'm like, well, Tom's going to do something different and it's probably going to be awesome. So I hold it in, you know what I mean? Mm. So I think it's unique in this one where like, I like seeing what happens, you know? Like, is that sort of a creative process that you're used to?
A lot of times, yeah. I mean, you're a pretty good songwriter. So
Am I?
Oh, yeah. So that helps out a lot.
But here's the thing. It's like, Carolyn, you have to see this. Like, I think it was even for that song, I don't know what it, not for, was it Not For Sale or something? Where Tom just like we're about to like, oh, let's go to a break. And then there's usually this time where Mike leaves and then Lindsay, then Ryan leaves, and then Tom is still playing something, and I'm just like, you know, I'm still wanting to play, and then Tom plays like two chords of something. I'm like, what is that?
What is that?
What is that?
Wait, what is that? What is that?
Play it again.
Yeah. Play it again. Sam.
Start the recording. Just keep doing that. There's that moment where, you know, when it's not time to play, that we end up playing, and then there's a song.
Yeah. Maybe like something in the brain like just switches off because you feel relaxed. You don't feel like you're like, oh, you know, let's chill out for a little bit. And then you're just noodling around in your head and comes out. That's how the magic works.
Like, do you have favorite bands like where you've seen their process? What are your favorite? If you can list your favorite bands. I mean, it probably would be Ramones, Metallica.
Well, not so much Metallica anymore, but.
What? Why not?
Well.
They have a new album coming out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
Wait, tell me about this. What's wrong with that? Because Metallica has been around for a long time. Forever. I've always seen this thing that, you know, there's sort of like this, you have to sort of adjust, right, to new sounds. What has happened to Metallica to you? What got you into Metallica? Because it was fast, heavy, and just destructive,
it was,
right?
It was fast, heavy, kind of raw.
Was it the Black Album? Is that what happened? The Black Album came?
I started falling out of love a little bit after Injustice.
Was
I mean,
because
I kind of liked
sound this...
Injustice, and then the Black Album, I'm like, well, okay, you know. And then, what was it? What was that after the Black Album? I kind of fell out of love there.
Was that, that wasn't the, like the Reloaded era, or was that?
It was before that.
Was it Unloaded?
It was the, Until It Sleeps was the big single off of the first album that I didn't like.
Do you remember what it was, Carolyn?
No. I'm not like knowledgeable in Metallica. I just know like Lars something, and then it's like... That's like all I really know.
Is that the
and
one?
Then they were like against Napster or something, right?
Oh, yeah, they were mad
like,
at
that's,
Napster.
That's like all I know about Metallica, but I'm familiar to that certain extent.
So Until It Sleeps, was that the one that had like King Nothing on it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like the music got a little cornier.
It got corny. See, that's the tough part when making music, and like that's always the question I always ask to like to the gang. I was like, if there's ever a time where something I'm playing sounds corny or it sounds like just like you don't want to play it, let's not play it.
I don't know if you could do corny.
Me?
I don't know. Maybe if you like sat down here and like
tried
for like hours, but you'd still have a lot of balled up paper. Like, it's not corny enough.
I'd have to go into that direction of corny.
Yeah, I still think it would take you a while to come up with something truly corny.
Your
creative instincts would just kind of mess it up every time, I think.
I feel like I have plenty of recordings right now or like, you know, just rough drafts. I'm like, that sounds corny. I think I just have to keep my anger in the song.
Yeah.
Well, but also I think because like, you know, when play towards the strengths of the band, I feel like, you know, we have to sort of go up there and play like we freaking mean what we're playing. And if it's corny, I don't feel like yeah, I can't fake it, man. You can't fake it. Here's one thing that's always so amazing. And I don't know if you notice this when you're younger playing in bands, but like Carolyn takes all the photos, pretty much the band photos.
Amazing.
And what's the worst thing you discovered about Tom?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so like I don't know what it is. This is gonna sound messed up. I guess like when I see you as like a regular person here,
as a civilian,
Like I wouldn't say civilian, but like you know, you're like Tom. But then when you hit the stage, you become like a superstar. Like your hair is like blowing in the wind, and like you like throw your head back, and you have like.
Well, because I'm trying to get the sweaty bags out of my face.
Like you have like, I don't know. You have like this essence about you that is like when you hit the stage, that's different than when you're not on stage.
So what happens?
Like
before,
visually?
Yeah, what happens before you hit the stage, Tom? That you go into this transformation.
I don't know, man. I just get into it, and I don't really know that happens. Nah, I just...
Because you do have, like, a presence when you're on stage. I think, like, your hair helps with it, too.
And this isn't even, like, an inside
you're like,
job.
Yes.
This is not even an inside job because we were there outside of Epicure. Remember that? And the mixer from the Jam, Jam and Java, he's like, dude, when you walked on stage, you already looked like you were in the freaking band. You, like, deserved to be already on stage.
Well, yeah, he said I belonged to, like, an arena rock band
or
something
like
that.
Yeah, like, you already belonged in that, like, dude.
I have heard about people doing that, though. Like, they'll be whatever, like, you know, who they are on their average day-to-day. But sometimes people transform more when they put on makeup or they put on a certain outfit. Like, more of a gimmicky thing. But it's funny that, like, as soon as you have lights on you on stage, it's almost like you have this, like, essence about you. Like,
well, I suppose it does kind of change the situation. I mean, you're walking around day-to-day, it's a little different. And then all of a sudden, lights are on you and, you know, you're with your band or, you know, your people, you know what I mean? And you're about to, you know, rock out in unison and everything, and now all of a sudden you're like part of this group that's just like pumping this, you know, fierce noise out of people. It feels good, you know. So I guess
there are some people though that don't have as much presence though, like
as Tom.
Yeah, like that you just see on stage and like, because I've seen a lot of concerts, you know, and then there's just like people that I don't know, they just are up there, but they're further back maybe, and then like they don't move around. And I'm not saying you move around like crazy, you don't like have super antics necessarily, but you do have like, it's like, dude, that guy's a rock star.
Well, whatever it is, it's unintentional. I just gotta,
he's wearing that Deadpool shirt.
Look at him, he's Captain America. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good thing. You just gotta work it, work what you got.
All right, well, thank you.
Were you ever a nervous person on stage, or you always just like,
always,
I'm ready to go? Really?
Always.
Because I remember our first show. You said to me like, okay, when we were plugging in, you're like, uh oh, here we go, man. I guess this is no turning back right now.
Yeah, it is. It's, for me, it's kind of like that, like going on a roller coaster. You know, I'm kind of jittery and for the first maybe 10, 15 minutes before the show, and then the first song, and then you get over that hill, and then it's just fun. After that, after the first song, I'm normally, you know, it's fine.
So
no
problem. Do you have like a mindset? Like for me, I have a mindset. I'm so used to playing, like when I played by myself at open mics and that, like, you know, even as like Mr. Bandit stuff, I'm so used to like fighting the crowd to listen to me that like I'm so accustomed to like these people don't give a shit. I gotta go out here and I gotta like play like I'm gonna fight them. Like, and that's
you gotta be noticed.
I gotta like have, you know what I mean? There's like this, I don't know, this confrontational thing that happens in my head from the time that I get on stage and I look out and I'm like, these people don't give a shit. I need to make them give a shit somehow. Do you have a mindset going into your performances? And has it changed since high school going on? Like even from trumpet and stuff like that?
No. I've always felt like any band I've ever really been in, we've gotten a pretty good kind of reaction. So I've always, I guess, taking more of like, they'll hear it and they'll like it. It's okay. Yes. Like, you're like, I guess I'm going to turn them around and make them.
That's what I'm so used to, man.
But no, I kind of feel like, you know, you put the work in, you put the practice in, you get up there and, you know, once you kind of get through the first little nervous bit or whatever to kind of settle in, you know, it'll come.
See, the part that always freaks me out, and this is not a bad thing, it's probably just on me, but it's just like whenever I see someone like walk away, that part always kills me. And I was like, damn it.
You're like, no, where are you going?
Come back.
You know what is interesting, though? Like, you know, speaking of going to a lot of concerts, I did just see Keith Urban at Jiffy Lube Live.
Oh, wow.
On Saturday. Thank you, Ticketmaster, for the class action lawsuit to give me free tickets for that.
Wow.
But, nice. Like, he's a really good guitar player, and he has, like, poses, kind of. And it's funny.
Oh, yeah,
funny.
He's a master of the guitar silhouette.
Like a silhouette. Like, I can't really describe it. It's more like, just Google him, you know? Like, oh, and that's a good Google search. But, like, just Google Keith Urban, and, like, he has, like, just cool, like, poses when he's playing, and he'll, like, throw his head back, too. Like, he'll do, like, that type of thing. And, like, it does have this mystique about him, and, like, Dave Navarro does that, too. He has, like, he'll, like, lift up the guitar and, like, he has poses. And it's, like, I find that interesting. I feel like Monday Mistress has to, like, work out some poses.
See, I just don't think my body, like, I think Tom has a good silhouette. Like,
yeah,
because
like,
we can tell
on
image.
I think it could work for you, Tom.
He has a good silhouette. I don't think I have a good silhouette.
You have baggy pants.
Yeah, that's,
like,
I gotta
get. You can't really see your legs at all.
But, like, I can't figure out I don't want to get too tight on my pants either.
Well, he moves around all that, but you gotta get air moving through.
Well, see, that's me. That's my reaction to, like, I don't have a good silhouette, so I'm just gonna move, dude. I just gotta move. That's how it is.
I think Tom needs to, like, take it up to another level and do some, like, poses.
Well, that's why I was like, remember, like, I think last Jam and Java, the last Jam and Java show we did, I was like, Tom, I'm gonna move around, so just step up to the front. It's okay. You just go
like
to the front.
You can be like, and then, like, put one of your hands further up or something. I don't know. It's just,
I'll work on something.
Yeah. You gotta work. Like,
you get that showmanship.
It's almost like an exaggerate, like, in animation, a lot of the, the really exaggerated poses come to life more. So, like, I don't know. Maybe so, work on that.
But what do you think about that, though? Like, the level of showmanship? Because there's a point where, because nothing that I don't think anything I do has really been, like, just, like, I'm gonna go and this is just for looks, so to speak. Do you have an idea of sort of like what is like, do you like bands that sort of like are just for the look, or were there bands where you're like, that sucks, it looks like they're just actually here for fame, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of feel like showmanship just kind of come from you believing in what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be amped up about, you know, what you're playing or whatever, and it's going to come out in, I guess, your showmanship. You know, like bands like Kiss and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like, well, they're always theatrical.
They've always been theatrical. Yeah. Because once you took away the makeup, you're like, put it back on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Act like that, I'm not necessarily what it's a lot for a show. It doesn't really attract me too much.
It's interesting because, like, you know, we have a female, you know, Lindsay was on the last show. And of course, her being a girl, a lot of people, even like the notes I always hear from other people trying to tell her is like, Lindsay, you need to go out and dance. And I'm just like, is our music really her to dance to? You know what I mean? It's sort of like that's always that perception of like, oh, if it's a girl, she needs to go out in there and dance. I feel like she can either like stalk, stalk the stage.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts on that, but I'm always just like, don't tell Lindsay to dance.
Yeah, I don't think
she's not a stripper. Don't tell her to go strip up there.
Yeah, she doesn't need to. Yeah, exactly. She definitely doesn't need to be doing that or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever she feels comfortable with, whatever she feels like is going to, you know, help her give the best performance is fine with me. I mean, I'm into stalking the stage, you know, walking the plank kind of type of thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But not like the diva, point your finger up in the air.
I don't really think like Monday Mistress is that type of band.
Because like let's think about it. Because like does Ozzy move a lot?
Not anymore.
No.
I was looking at old footage. He still never really moved around.
Not really at all.
I mean, if you like the Strokes, Julian Casablancas, he never moved.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of. I mean, you could probably go through a lot of different talented musicians that a lot of people love, and they don't really run around too crazy. So.
But Metallica does move. They don't jump around, but they do because they have huge stage.
Walk around and stuff. Yeah. But I mean, still, if you look at James Hetfield when he's playing guitar and singing and stuff like that, he stays fairly stationary.
Yeah.
He might back off and headbang a little bit. But
that's the one thing about Metallica, though, is I realized it's like, well, you can't really move too much. You got so many notes, man.
All that stuff you're doing, yeah.
That's the same thing where it was like Megadeth. I was talking to people about Megadeth and I was all like, yeah, but they never really go out there and move around. I was like, well, they got a million notes to play, dude. You gotta freaking focus on that. Yeah. I think that's why it really just comes down to headbanging, because that's all you can really do.
Yeah.
And that's why when it comes to like rock and punk rock, you can actually like, when you can just do those super strums, and then like that's all you gotta do, then you can move around.
Yeah.
What are the bands you into these days? Is it still the same? What's inspiring you today to be like to play guitar? Or even just to make music in general. Is it Lords of the Rings? Not Lords of the Rings. Is it Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Is it Game of Thrones?
Absolutely Game of Thrones.
Because I do find inspiration from like television shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To find some sort of direction or heaviness.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad about that. I should be searching
out
trying to find. Well, because you do always want to try to update your music catalog,
or
and try to find new things,
or
new sounds.
You have something inside that you need to pull out, though. That you're like, because sometimes when you're looking for new avenues of inspiration, it's because you've already maxed out the ones you have inside.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. I like going to practice and playing our tunes and writing stuff and. I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. So
I get a lot of enjoyment out of that too.
Do you feel like rock music is kind of, I don't even want to like declare it like this, but
dead.
I feel like because the VMAs were just this past weekend. I didn't watch them, but I saw like some images on social media and my coworkers watched it and they said it was like trash. There wasn't any rock bands performing at all. And it's like mostly hip hop and rap, and whatever that has the place, but it wasn't very diverse in music genres. And I just feel like I feel like rock music is very like underrepresented right now, like in mainstream culture.
Yeah, I think rock has a way, especially mainstream rock has a way of just kind of getting pigeonholed in like kind of like the same sound over and over again,
or like a classic rock, like it's kind of like like now I've noticed like I don't even know if we used to have like a classic rock station in the area, but I haven't flipped around in a while to listen to it, but last I heard it was like they were playing 90s stuff and they're like classic rock.
Yeah, classic rock, like, Teen Spirit, Nirvana, everybody. All right,
yeah. Like I don't know, but I just feel like, and then as far as like mainstream goes, I just feel like it's always like Dave Grohl like saving everything. It's like like any type of like award ceremony or that type of thing. It's usually if there is some type of rock representation, it's always Dave Grohl.
I think Dave Grohl shows up a lot of places, but yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But there's like, I don't know. I feel like there are rock bands out there, but it's you almost have to go out of your way to find more newer bands because everything else is like, even like people are like, well, what about Maroon 5? Like, I don't really consider them. I mean, they are a band, but I mean, they're more pop, whatever. But like, at least they play their own instruments, like from what I heard and I guess barely saw of the VMAs, there were like nobody playing their own instruments.
There was no one playing their own instruments?
It was just a DJ going to playback? I have no idea. I didn't really actually watch it. But like, it's kind of saddening to actually, see that.
Well, I think it's interesting because also I feel like music today, the ones you hear a lot, like everywhere, there's nothing really rebellious about it. everything's like really fun and dancey, and there's always like a...
Yeah, it's like dance electronic.
There's always like, you know, let's get you on the dance floor and stuff like that.
There's a place for that. Like, there's a place for every genre of music. I don't want to be that type of person that's like, I love everything except country music. You know, like, it's like, man, that's pretty harsh just to like weed out one thing like that super dramatic. They're like, I love everything except rap. You know, like, so you got to kind of have like inspirations from everywhere, but I just feel like rock is dying at this point.
Is rock dying, like, Tom? Is rock gonna be dead soon?
No, I think also different time periods, different stuff just gets a little more popular. You know, like dance music was big in the 70s, and then the 80s pop was, you know, getting bigger, and then, you know, in the 90s rock had a big revival, and now it's kind of going away, and dancing stuff is coming back. I mean,
yeah, coming and flows. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year in Cleveland. Is it Cleveland or Columbus? Oh,
it's Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Cleveland. And the last time I was there was like over a decade ago. So I've been twice. But it felt like the exhibits didn't change at all, really. Like, yeah, they had a few, like, they had like Beyonce clothing there. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, like that brings in like somebody that might want to see that, you know? But it felt like they had no new additions in like 10 years. So I was like, if they did, it was like small exhibits, and it just felt like I saw the same thing 10 years ago. And I mean,
I guess that is a little scary.
Yeah. I just feel like there was nothing like new. I mean, I did see like Bruno Mars outfit, but I don't even consider him like rock and roll, but I mean, it's cool that he was there. He probably he has rock and roll influences.
So is this a good thing or a bad thing that
I feel like it's bad.
Does that make rock is that scary? You think rock is scary for, you know, like people are afraid of rock?
No, I don't know if they're afraid of it. Maybe.
Was there one band that ruined? Maybe there was a band that ruined it. Maybe it was Nickelback.
Nickelback.
It's ruined rock.
They ruined everything.
Like the idea of what rock can be.
Yeah.
I mean, I know like it's easy to shit on Nickelback, and I'm not saying that they're a good band, but it's like Nickelback is like music for people that want to be hardcore, that totally like love Celine Dion. But then they're like, yeah. Oh my God, I can listen to Nickelback.
Do something where they like lined up a whole bunch of Nickelback songs and the tempos are like all the same? All the same.
You know what though? They're making money. They're successful. I don't know. I don't want to be like a hater on Nickelback for some reason. Like, I mean, they're not my favorite band by far.
Not a hater. We just don't listen to them.
I mean, I don't know. They're always like that example though of like, oh, rock music, Nickelback. You know, like it's kind of like maybe they did ruin rock.
Well, see, here's the thing, Tom, is that you notice is that like, you know, you have rock. Did you ever play Rock Band?
No.
Or those Guitar Hero stuff?
Nah.
See, that always pissed me off because I'm like, why don't we just play it for
just
real?
Just play a guitar. Just go.
Play it for real, dude.
Yeah. Everyone's making everything into a game because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I'm like that too. I agree. But I just really wish, because when you flip around on terrestrial radio, there's like the same 40 people that are played over and over again. It's like,
who are the 40 people? Like, or at least some of them.
It's like Gwen Stefani, Bruno Mars, Taylor Swift, Florida Georgia Line. And I'm not saying that they're bad. Like, you know, whatever. They worked hard to get where they Maroon 5, like that type of stuff. You know, and like, that's awesome for them that they achieve so much, you know, mainstream success. But I'm really sick of hearing, like, the same people. Like, you think that, like, all the time allowed on the radio and all the stations that we have, like, you just think that they can leave room for, like, some band. Like, some real bands, you know? Like,
I mean, you know what's amazing?
Like rock band.
Remember when, a couple or 3 years ago, like, Green Day had a song called Kill the DJ?
Yeah.
And everyone, did you ever hear that song? It's actually a pretty good song if you haven't heard that.
I may have. I just
it goes like, dent. Dun, dun, dun. It sort of sounds like a Clash, actually. But then the song, the chorus goes like, someone kill the DJ. And everyone's like, oh, I remember reading reviews about it where people were like, it was such a great song until the chorus came. And then they started talking about killing the DJ, and that then they're like, we can't have that.
I think a lot's going on. Like, I think radio's changing a lot. There's not any more like live DJs as much anymore. What they do is they have like a few hosts that are, I guess the word would be syndicated, and they're on several different stations, not just like your local DJ anymore. That's a problem in my opinion. Like, I think, you know, like I said, it's great for their career that they can reach several stations and do a morning show and go like be in every market. You know, I get that, but I feel like it loses like the local touch. I don't know. There's, and just radio is having problems like with people listening because there's so many other options now. Like, not that many people listen to the radio, maybe if they're in their car, but
do
at this point.
Do you listen to radio, Tom?
Nah.
No.
I mean, in my car, I mean, a lot of times now I just listen to like NPR.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that's really what it's coming down to. People just want to hear people talk.
Like, people have like a thumb drive, or like they'll have like satellite radio. There's so many other or the internet, or, you know, like there's so many options now. So it's really like you're getting drowned out. Plus, I don't know, man. I don't know how the music industry is right now. From what I hear, like it's just, you know, I'm not involved enough to like say exactly what goes on, but I know like the record deals aren't as good as they used to be. People aren't making that money that they really did. I mean,
we're all stealing music now. Yeah. That's what it came down to.
You have to like hit this huge like Taylor Swift level to get anything going. You know, like you have to be a mega star to like be that successful.
Who would you say is like the biggest like rock star or musician right now? That's not Jay-Z or Beyonce, Tom.
That's what I was going to say.
Yet I don't know how they became so great because I don't listen to their music, but it's hard to list like a great... I mean, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are actually still relevant. They're out right now. Touring.
I mean, as far as rock bands and stuff, yeah. I mean, Chili Peppers definitely.
I would say Prophets of Rage, but you didn't go to the show.
I didn't go to the damn show.
I don't even know how that happened, Tom.
Did you forget?
Passed out.
Okay. What about you know, they did have the resurgence of Guns N' Roses this year.
That's
this
true.
Tour.
Did you ever contemplate getting that ticket?
They kind of
Tom?
Brought back rock.
I thought about it, but
well, they brought back rock until he couldn't run around, until he broke his foot,
and then he had to use Dave Grohl's shrine or whatever. And
then Dave Grohl showed up everywhere again in spirit.
There, Dave Grohl is again. Yeah. I mean, Dave Grohl's awesome, but he does just pop in everywhere. I mean, jeez. You know, I would love, though, just if there was some fresh rock bands that got played on the radio that had, like, some pretty cool hits. Oh, that's all that I ask for. I'm like, that's all that I ask.
What do you ask for, Tom?
Santa.
Music.
What, as far as, like, popular radio nowadays?
What do you want to see? What's missing besides our band being played everywhere? What else is missing like to you and like the music? Like, what do you want to hear more of?
Stuff like our band. Nah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really seem like stuff with an edge on it really gets all that much, you know, radio play anymore. I mean, you used to have like 98 Rock would play some, you know, harder stuff back in the day that I remember, but
yeah.
I haven't listened to them too much anymore. I don't really know. I think there's a lot of Nickelback going on up there, too. Yeah.
Do they do the, should have been there on a Sunday morning? They always sing like that, though. That's the type of...
I don't know about that song, but yeah.
I don't know.
It's like if Creed were to keep on going.
Yeah.
That's the spot they took. Nickelback took Creed's spot.
But no, like, I don't know. I think like what Carolyn said, I mean, I remember in the old days, I don't know if they still have it now, but I mean, they used to have this Capital Radio Music Hour where they would play like punk rock bands on like 106.7 or something, like around midnight or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at odd times, but you know, you'd at least get, or I think 98 Rock used to do like a Noise from the Basement, or somebody used to do Noise from the Basement, and they would, you know, live or local acts would get some radio time like that. You know, it'd be nice if there was a little bit more of that, a little bit more of... I guess big media, major media outlets trying to do a little more to kind of showcase some up and coming talent.
Well, it's unique about like whenever I try to shop our band around, I'm always just like, are we too heavy for these people I'm about to pitch the band to? You know what I mean? Because because there was like this folk revolution too that that happened. Everyone's
like the Mumford and Sons,
Lumineers era. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Everyone has like suspenders and a beard and wearing.
That lasted like
shit.
2 years. I feel like that's kind of on its way out, though. Like the lumber sexual movement. Yeah.
I'm like, how do we put Monday like, Mistress, a vicious band like Monday Mistress, in that? You can't. Everyone's expecting like, oh, a nice, we're going to sit in the grass with fireflies all around and listen to music. I was like.
And drink out of my mason jar.
That's like, I don't know if that's how we could. I went specifically to create songs that was the opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, worst thing they can say is no. I mean, you know, maybe a light opener.
I will just say, at least they play their own instruments.
That's true.
I give them credit. Like any band that
they don't even need to be plugged in either.
Any band that plays their own instruments, I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm not really into like all this synthesized like electronic stuff. I mean,
and yet my bass is solely synthesized.
I don't know. I don't want to like.
I'll point out. I don't know. Nine Inch Nails is pretty heavy on the synthesizing of death.
But I guess, like, as far as, like, boy bands go, it is interesting because, like, 5 Seconds of Summer, I think, is kind of big. But at least they're not, like, a traditional, like, cheesy boy band. It's, like, they actually play their instruments, you know? Like, and, yeah, it's pop, but, and, like, yeah, they are, like, you know, teen girls will probably like them and stuff. But I'm, like, they're playing their own music. Yeah. Their own instruments. It could be worse.
So before we end this show, this is a great question to start on, Tom. What is the one band or musician that people would not expect you to be listening to that you do listen to?
Like a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, like Britney Spears or something like that. Specifically because you are a metal punk rock guy. Do you like musicals? Do you listen to musicals?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Prince. Prince might people.
Prince is pretty. Prince is freaking punk rock too. If you think about it, he's pretty hardcore into the whatever that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Just the sheer talent that the guy had. Yeah. But anyway,
what would be the most embarrassing thing that you might think people would, not expect you to listen to?
Like Raspberry Beret or something, maybe. I don't know.
What is Raspberry Beret?
Raspberry Beret. The kind you find in a secondhand store.
What is that?
That's Prince.
Oh, yeah.
If it was cold, she wouldn't wear much more. Yeah.
I remember like a few days ago, I had Cream stuck in my head for like so long.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cream. Get on top.
Yeah, man. I mean.
I was trying to write songs that like. Just based around one word. I was like, just like, it's just like, say a noun, and then the verse is describing it.
I think you should write something like Usher that goes like, yeah. I just say yeah.
Look what it did, though. I mean
millions, man.
Millions of dollars.
Like, Tom and I would go to band practice, and we're just like, let's just write a song about one word. And just that's how it would go the whole entire time.
Pistachio. I think you should write a song about pistachio.
About pistachio? The color green pistachio? I think I can do that.
Or the food.
I always find that a good challenge to write songs about certain things. I enjoy that. No, that's the creative process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm like, there's only so many chords and rhythms I can play, you know?
Yeah, start from somewhere else instead of just trying to write a riff.
Yeah. So we can just wrap a song around one sound that you just make on the guitar. And I was like, yes, that's how it's going to be. That's the best part.
Well, that's kind of what happened with Fuss.
Hell yeah, that's how
that happened. I started playing that.
And then, yeah, and that part came out of nowhere. And then the riff from Fuss came from... Remember during one of our
Epicure show?
Yeah, I was like
that Epicure show with somebody broke a string. Ryan
broke
Robert
a string. Roberts broke a string. I was like, just jam up with this.
Oh yeah, dude, just jam on this. It's like, well, all right.
Yeah, it'd be so hilarious if that becomes like our big song that like really breaks boundaries. And then like it came from that one moment in time.
Happy accidents.
Came in that moment of broken string.
Okay.
We need to kill time.
Make some noise.
Yeah. How can you beat... Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Tom.
So you guys were recording. Real quick, what is the plan with what you were recording in the studio?
We're trying to get something out in October.
Yeah, trying to get it out in October. We're trying to get on Pandora. They will hopefully in the near future be a Monday Mistress Pandora radio station.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Might as well go into it, Tom. We're going to end the show. Just plug my name, everything Monday Mistress. And then yourself as well.
Well, I'm Tom Kazemi, but most importantly, I play rhythm guitar for the rockin' band Monday Mistress. Check us out on mondaymistress.com. You can check out our Facebook page. We're on SoundCloud. Google us. We're everywhere. You can hear pretty much the whole library in one form or another.
That's right.
So check it out. I mean, it can't hurt you.
Tom, thanks for being on the show, man. It was awesome.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time, man. This is really cool.
Freaking awesome, really cool. Man. Freaking awesome. You guys have to go out there and just look for pictures of Tom playing guitar. You will not be disappointed at all. This show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at astrayproductions.com. Check out my work, joecarabeo.com, goastray.tumblr.com, already mondaymistress.com. Carolyn, what do you got?
Well, speaking of Monday Mistress, I just want to do a quick plug for our podcast because the past episode was Lindsay, who does vocals, and then before that was Mike, who does drums for Monday Mistress. So we got you guys all lined up for those podcasts. So if you like this podcast, go back and check out the past two. But also you can catch me online. I'm everywhere. Just Google Carolyn Bilewski. I have a website, carolynbilewski.com. I also have a comic strip called Curls. So you can check that out online.
And there you go, world. CarolynandJoeShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, everywhere on the internet. Once again, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.